Jack Tibbetts is back in the studio with us. He has resigned from the Santa Rosa City Council. Jack, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
We were talking earlier off air that it came as a very surprising move to all of us, and I know a lot of other people that I've talked to. So go ahead and I thought you've done a great job explaining and talking about it. I've seen the posts on Facebook and such, but tell everyone exactly why you're resigning.
Well, for me, it's really simple. It's just that, I had a son 9 months ago, and I kind of knew leading up to that moment when my wife was pregnant that my time was going to get much more limited. I work at pretty close to capacity between my day job operating St. Vincent de Paul and then also the work we put in on the council, which if you're a C student council member, you're putting in 20 hours. If you're an A student council member, you're putting in at least 40. And, there's just not enough hours in the day, unfortunately, to do both of those things and then also be a present father. So that was really the genesis of my decision. I have been wrestling with it for a long time. I wrestled with it leading up to the recent election I went through a year ago. And I decided that since there wasn't at the time any declared candidates when it was time to file, that I would file because I felt that the 3rd District and the community of Skyhawk and Oakmont and Rincon Valley deserved somebody to stand for it in its first district election. And so I did it, and I have been doing the best I could, but it's just time to be a dad.
And I love the fact that you are the youngest person ever elected to the Santa Rosa City Council. How old were you when you got elected? I forget.
I was either 25 for a very short period of time, but I think it was pretty much 26.
Yeah, when you took...
When I took office, yeah. I was campaigning at 25, and I also was lucky to get over 40,000 votes, which was the highest recorded in the city's history. And
yeah, that's another thing.
I say that because, and I think this is actually true, I'm sure that when everybody was picking their 4 candidates for city council, they probably somebody might have said, oh, my number one is Julie Combs or Ernesto Olivares, some of these more known people. And then as they figured out, what do I do with this 4th vote? And I thought, oh, maybe they'll, give Jack a chance. And I appreciate that people gave me that chance.
I voted for you.
I appreciate that. I remember campaigning and you said that to me and I thought, you poor fool.
but you don't even live in his district, Steve.
No, this was before the district.
Okay.
This was when it was still vote for 4 people thing.
Yeah.
Jack, I've read something interesting in one of the articles, which was you grew up in a household with a politician as a father, and you didn't want the same for your son. Do you want to detail that a bit more?
Sure. My dad was very involved in politics. I think back to his early 20s with then Assembly Member Doug Bosco, who turned Congress member and so on. And growing up, I love my dad deeply. I'm appreciative for all the things he's done for me, but I always had to share my father with politics, and I did not want my son to have to share me with politics. And that was really very important to me. And I kept going over that in my mind over and over again leading up to this decision. And I just thought these are the most important years to be with my son as he grows up and he starts to form his own mind and personality. And I thought these are the moments that count. I'm not going to miss them.
Not to mention that your day job does take up a lot of time. I mean, that's a pretty heavy-duty gig.
Yeah.
St. Vincent de Paul running that organization.
It is. It's gotten bigger, too. We've grown our budget from about, $700,000 a year when I took over to, I think, well over $4 million a year now and all kinds of programs that we're running. We now have HR issues and all the things that any larger organization would have. So It's definitely increased the competition for my time and attention.
So you officially resigned last night at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. It's effective immediately, correct?
No, I actually was careful to say it's going to occur on December 21st, so next Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm the chair of the city's Renewal Enterprise District, and we have a meeting on Monday, and I need to finish as chair on that committee. So subsequent to that meeting, I'll be turning in the paperwork to make it official.
And as Harry asked you before we actually got back on the air, Did the council decide anything last night as far as, and I don't believe they did. I guess that's coming maybe next Tuesday. They're going to discuss this on how to replace you, be it a an election or an appointment. So where do you think that stands at this point?
That's a great question. You know, if it were me, I would try to take it to the election, to the electorate in June, just because I believe we are going to have some issues that need to go on the ballot. So, you know, you mentioned cost, Steve. Anytime we put something on the ballot, there's a cost associated with doing it. Well, if the cost is there, that's probably the best way to honor the voters is give them the choice. But sometimes the most cost-effective and expeditious is for the council to make its own appointments. They'll take in applications and conduct a public job interview. It's really weird to be a part of.
Yeah.
We did it once 2 years ago when we appointed Dick Dowd to replace Julie Combs. So, you know, who knows how they will do it, but I'm sure they'll make the best decision. And I have to say, for if any of them are listening, and I said it last night, I do feel really bad to kind of leave that workload on them, because God knows they've got a pretty staggering list of things they have to accomplish, and this is never a fun one to go through.
Well, and again, as you pointed out, if there's going to be other ballot issues in June, that's a little different than having just a special election that has to be paid for just, you know, to replace
right
a council member.
Right. If there were no issues on the ballot, I would hope that I would probably, if I were voting, then also vote to do an appointment.
Right.
Just to save the taxpayers money.
Okay, Harry?
Yeah, I know you've got your position with the St. Vincent Society, but are you prepared to take the financial hit that your family's going to take from the vast income you've received as a Santa Rosa City Council person?
We will miss the additional about $480 a month.
That's what Harry makes.
And I'll be honest, that money is really just there for us to pay for our own meals, so we don't have to report it when, you know, you take me out to breakfast, Harry, and tell me you want me to do this, that, or the other. It's supposed to make it more above
and
board.
And yet Steve is still here, Jack.
Yeah. it helped. My family won't miss it.
But I think it's, jokingly, it raises the issue of how do we expect people with full-time jobs and responsibilities to take on additional full-time jobs and responsibilities and not compensate them for it?
Yeah, it's a great question, and that's one that the council's been debating a lot lately, especially as we see the council get a lot younger and a lot more diverse. There is a strong argument to be made that they should make a salary. I mean, if the public expects them to be responsive when they ask for a meeting, to meet with them, to respond to every email that we get sent, then they have to be available 60 hours a week. I mean, really, 60 hours. And so I used to do that when I first started on the council. I was that person where I made every effort to meet with everybody over whatever they wanted to talk about. But I realized I'm not doing that anymore. And that office deserves somebody who will do that. So I think the public has a choice to make whether we want it to be volunteer, and then you better expect kind of volunteer responses from your elected council members,
yeah.
Or you need to, you know, and they're going to get the chance to vote on this most likely. The Charter Review Committee now is meeting and to review the city's charter, and they'll likely see on the ballot the choice to pay council members. On its face, I'm sure a lot of folks are going to say, well, I'm not going to support these guys. What are they doing for me, you know? But we actually do a lot of work. We do the best we can. Not every decision is perfect. I'd say only half are good half the time. But, you know, that's government. And but people do work hard, and people do want the city to be well served.
I think it should be, and I always have, in all my years in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County, always thought it should be a salaried position. I mean, you get healthcare.
We do get healthcare.
Thank goodness. But, you know, there's no money. And it's, as you pointed out, and we've talked about it numerous times over the years on this show, it's just too much work.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out, you know, to do it right, well, hopefully they'll make the decision to, in my opinion, do it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want your officials to commit full-time to their positions, then make them full-time positions.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the flip side to that is you can expect more retired people serving on the council. That's historically how it's been and how it's been done. I think in the recent election cycles, you've seen a lot of young people step forward and want to fight and make decisions and change policy. And I think the public seeing what that leadership looks like these days compared to the old days, and I'm not making a statement about what was better or worse, but I just think if people want to see more youth, more diversity, this is going to have to be something that eventually happens.
Here's an idea. Pay off their student loans.
Hey, that's...
Run for office and we'll pay off your student loans.
That's great. I'll ask my wife to maybe consider running. She's got about $80,000 in student loan debt.
Oh, geez. You were quoted in the PD as saying, the public deserves 100%, but so does my wife and child. And you got a nine-month-old son. And, of course, I totally understand, man.
Jeez. Yeah. I guess I just want people to understand how truly grateful I am to have been given the chance to represent them, not for just the 4 years of my first term, but they also gave me a shot at a second term. And to have your community that brought you up, that taught you, that raised you, I was born and raised here, that's just, it's kind of this feeling that wells up inside you with gratitude. And so for anybody listening, you know, I'm really appreciative, but for that very reason, you know, you deserve 100% from me always. And if I'm ever, and if any elected official is ever slipping to 95%, they either need to make a conscious decision to get it in gear and get back up to 100%, or just get out of the way and let somebody else get in there who's going to give it 100%, because that's what everybody deserves. It's what the office deserves.
Well put.
So when the son turns 18, you're back?
Possibly. Right. You know, I would like to come back, but I got that question last night from the reporter, and he said, are you thinking about coming back? And kind of put me on my heels, because I thought, is he asking me if I'm, you know, retiring to run? There's been speculation I would run for the first district supervisor position, and I really have no intention to do that. So it kind of made me like pause and say, nope, not until he's done with college. And then I texted him late last night, and he amended the article, and I appreciate that of Andrew Graham. And I said, well, if I'm passionate about an issue enough or I'm mad enough, I'll ask for my family's blessing and jump back in. So, because I do love it. I love being able to do that work, but it's not the right time for me right now.
What's new at St. Vincent de Paul? I mean, it's a hell of an organization, and you guys work very hard doing what you do. Explain exactly what it is you do.
So I'm the executive director, which, you know, means I do everything from... I'm the janitor to legal counsel to HR. I mean, we're a small, in our administration side, we have about 46 employees, but on the admin side, it's really just myself and a few others who do all the admin pieces. We are engaged in a $14 million permanent supportive housing development project. We run the Los Gilicos Shelter Village.
Right.
We run the non-congregate shelter out at the fairgrounds. The Sonoma County Homeless Court, a soup kitchen, a thrift store in Rohnert Park that generates revenue for our philanthropic activities. And we just acquired a property, a one-acre property in Sebastopol that will soon become an RV village, although it will actually be operated by another nonprofit. But we wanted to facilitate that by at least acquiring the space for them to do it. And then we'll probably get engaged in low-income housing there down the road. So we do have a lot going on, and I'm grateful to my staff there who, quite frankly, have been picking up a lot of slack for me in the last couple of years as we've grown, and I've, again, balanced these two roles.
Right. Mayor Chris Rogers said, and I quote, "The council has never had a more dedicated advocate on housing and homelessness, and I will salute that myself."
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You've done a great job, man.
That was my... what I was passionate about when I got into this, so I appreciate it.
Yes, I have never regretted voting for you.
That's good. I thought you came close on the Bennett Valley Golf Course, but I'm glad that I didn't lose Steve.
Wasn't that when I said I was going to take you out to the woodshed or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Another great moment in my career.
And mine.
The real reason he's leaving, Steve.
He can't stand anymore, Jackson. Well, I sure appreciate you coming in. It was just last night at the council meeting that Jack announced officially that he is retiring from the city council. It'll be next week, and then they have to decide whether they're going to go to an election in June or amongst themselves figure it out and
appoint
mm-hmm. Someone to replace you. And again, that is... It can be a very awkward process, as you pointed out earlier, when 2 years ago to replace Julie Combs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as easy as it sounds. You know, people think, well, they should just appoint someone. Well, that's not that easy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if I could leave a word of advice, they should just appoint someone. Too often, interest groups and politics find their way into those appointments and they become a little bit testy or sensitive. And I think the best thing you could do is recognize it's a short term. Who's going to commit to only filling the space until reelection time? Pick that person. It's better to pick somebody, I think, that you don't know that's going to make a pure decision than somebody who might kind of come in and stack the deck on one side or the other.
Yeah.
This council has been great at not being a conservative council or an extremely liberal council. We have, I think, been a very cohesive and balanced council, and I feel that it's done well.
All right. Jack Tibbetts, as of next week, no longer a Santa Rosa City Councilman. We will now be talking to you and having you come in to talk about homelessness and other issues that you're so attached to, especially with St. Vincent de Paul.
Great. Well, I look forward to it, you guys, and thanks for the many years of good conversations.
And next time I see you, I'll recognize you.
Yeah.
As long as I don't have my glasses on.
It's also the mask in your defense.
Well, that doesn't help. It's tough.
Yeah.
Jack Tibbetts, best of luck in the future to you and your family, and keep us posted on everything you're doing, man.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for coming in. Outgoing Santa Rosa City Councilman Jack Tibbetts.